What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to the Cold Seat Podcast, when the seats are cold and the takes are hot. We've got our final 2024 NFL draft position rankings coming at you guys today. We got wide receivers on deck. Definitely the most stacked class, group of players in the entire class. This might be the deepest receiver group I've ever studied and covered. Certainly better than last year's. I'd say it's better than 2022, better than 2021. Yeah, I think this group, even better than 2020, this group is one of the best groups I've seen in a really, really long time. There's what I believe to be a greater than one number of true elite blue chip players at the position in this class. And I think you're looking at, it's incredibly deep. I think I was just weird, Brett, I was talking. I have 18 R. I just, before we started, I pull up a bunch of RIS data. That way I'll have it. And yeah, I've got height, weight, and I can for the most part, I know how many years these guys were in college, right? And with their receivers, there's so many big names. And I have 18 players that I pulled up before we started. And we'll talk about all 18 today. And there's that 19th guy that I actually am going to want to shout out because I really like his game as a late round option, because I'm trying to throw those shout out guys that are, you know, later round, mid round options and kind of in day three, certainly some of these positions, especially receivers. So, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of really, really talented players in this group. I think once you get outside the top, kind of, in my mind, seven receivers, there's a bit of a drop. But there's a flavor for everybody, right? There's a flavor for, do you want a guy who's historically fast? Do you want a guy who's historically big? Do you want a guy who's really good at jump balls or really good at after the catch or really good at X? You know what I mean? There's something for everybody in this group. Which I think is great. And I think they all have very, very good and unique skill sets that are of good quality when you get to kind of the, for example, like the Malachi Corlys, he's a yak specialist, but he's got a great yak quality. So like, that's an example of a guy who has and it's a whole class. He's got one thing, he's really, really good at one thing, and he's very good at it, and got some rounding out to do elsewhere. But that's a good example, I feel like, of how the class kind of is shaping up in this group this year.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to getting into these guys. I mean, there's a reason we kept the wide receiver group for last in terms of our positional rankings breakdown. I know you looked at a good bit of guys. I have nine that I'm going to talk about here, but there's so many guys that, you know, I could talk about that would fit a lot of teams' needs and would, you know, come right in and have a big impact on that offense. So a lot of really good players, like you said, and looking forward to getting into it. I know today would normally be our first mock draft Monday, but we are technically a week behind schedule. So we're going to get this to y'all today. And then as soon as possible, get y'all our mock draft first one this week. And then we will have our second next Monday. So we'll get back on schedule this week. Starting next week, we should be good to go, but just letting y'all know, mock draft is coming very shortly, but we wanted to get these rankings done and out to y'all before we began that. So I'll get into, I guess, my ninth receiver. I try to somewhat rank the guys outside of my top five, because I know we only do five, but trying to get somewhat of a ranking next to each guy's name. And my ninth guy is South Carolina Xavier Leggett. From Mullen, South Carolina, I believe he's the oldest receiver in the class. He just turned 23, and I know South Carolina had his numbers a good bit inflated, as most teams do, but he's 6'1", 221, with 9-inch hand, 31 7/8-inch arms, and 77.5-inch wingspan. All the numbers are above average for receivers. He spent five seasons at South Carolina. And before this season, he only had 423 receiving yards in his first 4 years. So not a whole lot of production. He really came into the season looking to have a big year, and he did. I know I saw something where he went into the season not sure what his target share would look like, and he obviously, you know, set goals for yourself. And even the goals he set weren't up to what he put this season. He underestimated what he actually would, you know, put out on the field, which was 71 catches, 1,255 yards, over 17 a catch, and 7 touchdowns. He had a really good combine as well. I thought going into it, you didn't really know what to expect from him, but 4.39 40, which was incredible for him. A 1.54 10 split, which is a little bit slower than the average guy, especially running sub 4.4, but 40-inch vertical, which was huge. 10.5 foot broad and 12 reps on the bench. So all around, just a really good offseason for him in terms of stock. I just think there's so many receivers in this class that are garnering a lot of attention, rightfully so, and it's kind of taking some attention off him. But he's done everything he could for himself this offseason. I think not only what he brought to that South Carolina offense, but what he can bring to an NFL offense. I mean, he's big. He's got the jump ball ability. He's really good at contested catches. Surprising coordination for a big man. I think when you look at, you know, big receivers, they just go up and get it, and a lot of times they'll like come down, take a few steps, or just fall down. But he's able to, you know, go up and get it, high point it, and then come down, make a move, and continue to get upfield, which is big. I mentioned the speed is really solid, and then surprising yak ability. In terms of weaknesses, his footwork isn't always consistent, especially off the line. The releases aren't great, which sometimes leads to lack of separation, which hence why he's good at jump balls, is because he doesn't always get separation. The explosion and burst, acceleration, stuff like that also could be worked on. I know, like I said, off the line is his toughest part of his game, I think. And then lastly was change of direction. I don't think he's able to shift as quick as any of the DBs or most of the DBs he went up against. But I noticed just his speed would kind of bail him out a lot of the time for his lack of elusiveness, his change of direction, stuff like that. But probably early second rounder, maybe late second rounder, but I think he's a second round lock. I don't think he slides into the first round. But yeah, I do like Leggett. He has some really intriguing fits in round two, and we'll see where he ends up. But I bet he doesn't get out of round two.
Yeah, I will say the DK Metcalf comp, terrible for him. I hate it. I'm glad he didn't say it. I don't like it. DK was 6'3" and change, and 228 pounds. Leggett was 6'1" flat, which isn't. I'm not saying that's small. That's not 6'3". In 6'3" and 3/8", 228. It's just not the same. I get that he's explosive and he's fast. But I don't love the DK Metcalf comp to him. DK also had almost an inch bigger hands, which I think does matter for receivers, right? If you get, you know, catch the ball, palm the ball, blah, 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 whatever. So I do think he. In a similar light to DK, is very raw, though. Kind of like you mentioned, I think Leggett would probably come in for me. I think around 15. Actually, 15. For me. I've seen tape on 20 guys. I basically have almost 20 ranked. I have 12 right now, just for the sake of it. 12 to 13, probably 14. But Xavier probably comes in around 14, probably, for me. I won't get to everybody. I will say the guys, maybe I'll just talk about the guys I've got maybe ahead of him real quick. I won't go super deep into it. Jalen Polk's ahead of him for me. I guess I'll go from 10 to 13 real fast, because Leggett's at 14 for me. Yeah. I'll go from 10 to 13. I got Xavier Worthy at 10, Ricky Pearsall at 11, Jermaine Burton at 12, and Jalen Polk at 13. And then we can kind of go from there, since you have 9. But I think you hit the nail on the head well with Leggett. Really raw player. A lot of tools, a lot of athletic tools. So just, I think he's a raw talent as of right now. I'll get to my guy I have at 9. And that's Florida State's Keon Coleman. Let me pull up his RAS real fast. Had a pretty solid combine, better than I thought it would be. He was jumped out of the gym with a 38 vert, a 10.7 broad, was really, really solid. 6'3", 213, 3-year player in college, played two seasons at Michigan State, transferred to Florida State, played for a year. I believe he's one of the younger guys in this whole class. Do you have his birthday on hand?
For Keon?
Yeah, May 17th. So he'll get drafted as a 20-year-old. So one of the younger players in this class, which does matter to me, especially at receiver. There's a younger guy. There's a much younger guy than him in this class, which is jarring there's a guy who was born on July 28th who's going to get drafted in this class, which is 2003, which is wild. But yeah, he's a super young player. He's got a lot to learn still. That's why I've got him below a few guys that are ahead of him that I think have really, really complete games and have put that on display. But he's such a good jump ball receiver that he's good enough at one thing, and he's put enough good tape out at receiver that I think he can get to a point where he could be in the echelon of the top seven players for on my board. Keon's just got to be able to separate better. That's the big knock, is he's not a natural separator. And you saw it with Quentin Johnston. He really has struggled. He struggled to separate in college last year or 2 years ago at times. And it really hurt him at the NFL level. And I see a lot of that with Keon Coleman as well. Keon's a young player. He's going to have to learn the nuances of the position a little bit better. But again, he's got a really high ceiling because of just the tools that he plays with and the above the rim nature he plays football with, and the physicality that he plays with. So Keon for a while there was getting like wide receiver two love, like during the season, like September. Obviously, I think everyone's come down on that. He's still a very good player though. I think he's got a lot of upside. It's just, he's a very much a boomer bust prospect, where like, I think Ricky Pearsall is very much a high floor, low ceiling guy who's two spots below him, right? Out of Florida. Ricky's an older player, been around a lot longer. I think he's a 5 year guy, 4 or 5 year guy. But again, you know what you're getting, and it's really good. But you see, I don't know how high the ceiling is for Ricky. I think that's a polar opposite in Keon. And I think we'll talk about that with the next guy that I have on my list at eight, is that it's a ceiling and floor versus, you know, that's a lot tighter than when you look at Keon. It's a huge, wide variance range. So I like Keon a lot though. Certainly lower than I think I would have had him in, you know, December, but that's how the process goes, right? That's how it goes. You have guys who go to the Senior Bowl and have great showings. You have guys who you actually put the tape on and you go, wow, this guy's really good at football. Like, he's that good. So, yeah, man. Keon's my guy at nine. Did you get, you got Keon, I assume?
I did.
Okay.
I liked him a lot. He was, I want to say, I have like a 6A and 6B. I'll say he's 6B for me. So he's my seventh highest ranked guy, but 6B.
Fair.
So he's from Louisiana. Like you said, he's really young. 6'3 and a quarter, 213, 9 3/8 inch hands, 32 and 1/8 inch arms, just over 78 wing. So really good measurables for him at the combine. He spent two seasons at Michigan State, and then this past season transferred to Florida State. Thought he would get a bunch of targets, and he didn't really get a whole lot. 50 catches for 658, which is just over 13 a catch, and 11 touchdowns. Ran a 4.61 at the combine, which was poor, and then a 1.54 10, which was good for that time. 38 introvert, 10.7 broad. You see the strengths in his game. Aside from his frame, he's pretty agile, explosive. The yards after catch are solid. His play strength is there. The ball skills, ball tracking, contested catches, stuff like that. His speed obviously needs to be better. I mean, 4.6 is not great. The footwork isn't great, similar to Leggett. Just a little lack of footwork, either whether it's wasted motion or kind of getting stuck. And then route tree. He doesn't have a ton of routes in his game. I think he can work on that and improve that weakness rather easily. I think his ceiling, absolute ceiling, is 28 with Buffalo, but I think he's a round two guy. I think we're going to see a bunch of receivers day one and two, but especially round two. I think a lot of teams aren't going to want to take one at the back half, and they're going to want to wait till day two to get their guy, whether it's trading up or whatever. But I think that's the ceiling for him, but he is my, like, 6B, if I had to rank him. My 8 was kind of tough. So it's Ladd McConkey. I love Ladd McConkey, but the thing is,
that's heartbreaking.
No, I would be excited if we took him at 30 and he's my wide receiver 8. I just don't know if, like, at the next level, I think he's a very safe pick. But he hasn't put enough out there to show that he's going to project to what you think he will. He's older. He turns 23 around week one. He's from Georgia. going to Georgia, where obviously they had a loaded roster year after year as of late. Just under 6 foot, 186. You know, 8 5/8 hand, 30 1/4 arm, and 72 inch wing. So smaller across the board, obviously being just under 6 foot. A 4.39 40, which was really good. A 1.5 210. 36 inch vertical, 10 foot 4 broad, and 13 reps on the bench which was pretty impressive. But yeah, like I said, this past season he didn't really get the targets that I think Georgia had hoped for, and I think a lot of draft scouts hoped for. 30 catches for 478, which is about 16 a catch, and 2 touchdowns. He's incredible at route running. He has nearly all of the routes down. He can, you know, he creates separation. He has a feel for the soft spots and stuff like that, which is huge. I think he could end up having like a Puka Nacua type projection. I'm not going to say he's going to go and get whatever 1600 yards, but he could be really, really good in the right offense. You know, you put him in Kansas City. I know it's just the easy Dude, one he, to say,
he would,
but
he would terrorize people in Kansas right, City, bro. Like, oh my goodness.
Right. He'd be incredible there. And frankly, if I knew he was going to Kansas City, he'd be higher than 8 for me, but it's just like trying to figure out who goes where. You can't really do that with everyone. His acceleration and speed were really good. Obviously running a sub 4.440. Change of direction. He was fluid in his movements. His feet were well connected with his hips. There was no wasted movement. And I just wish he played a little bit bigger. He doesn't play through contact consistently at a high level. And then obviously contested catches normally aren't going to go your way if you're under 6 foot. But I think he could slide into the first round, similar to a few other guys that we talked about, but probably an early round 2 pick. But who knows? I mean, there's a lot of time between now and April 25th, and a lot can happen. But I really like Ladd. He's just kind of wide receiver 8 for me. But like you said before we started recording, you know, 5, 6, 7 are close. 8, I feel like, isn't quite there just because the skill set's a little different. But like I said, I love Ladd. So I hope he goes to a really good situation, and hopefully he balls out.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who he's a freak, dude. Guys just don't accelerate the way he does. He's a really good player. I say that hurts me because I've got him at 7. It's not like he's like that far in the rankings different, but like I think there's a massive gap between 7 and 8 for me. Like there's a sizable like I think 1 through 7 are like, yeah, take him in round 1. Maybe not, they're not round 1 graded players, but it's like, yeah, that's a round 1 receiver. Like I'm taking him in round 1. I don't think my guy at 8 I'd take him round 1. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think like Ladd on certain teams scares me more than the guy I have at 6 on certain teams.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I think the guy at 6 can, we just got a higher ceiling. He's got a higher ceiling because of what he can do and the rareness of I don't know, say rare. It's not that rare, but like I just love the other guy. The guy I have at 6 is one of my guys in this class. So also, as if Ladd isn't one of my guys. By the way, you called Ladd an older guy. I just want you to know, me and Ladd have the exact same birthday, born on the exact same day in 2001. Dang. Same day. So he's an old guy.
In comparison to the day class. As me.
No, you're right. He is, absolutely. He'll be 23 on November 11th. Shout out birthday twin, Ladd McConkey is my guy. But no, you're right. It's when you say that, like, hey, if he goes to the Jags or if he goes somewhere without a really good quarterback, like, what does that look like for him? Whereas opposed to the guy I have at 6, I feel confident that could do really, really good things kind of all over. They also played in very different offenses. If I could go 6A, you know what? I'm going to go 6A and 6B because I'm going to. Right. Ladd is at 6B. I'll touch on Ladd real quick with you. I think Ladd's that's really special in short areas, though. Truly, like he's a red zone nightmare to deal with. He's a really good route runner. When you watch the SEC corners and you go, man, everyone looked good until they saw Ladd McConkey. Man, it's tough. It's hard, right? It's like he's really good. Part of that, and you have to attribute part of that to the fact that Georgia's offense is really good, and he played with Brock Bowers, and you couldn't play light boxes against Georgia. So you do have to like caveat that with like you watch it and you go, he beat up on some really good players, but at the same time, like you've also got to recognize the context, and that's part of it. So that's part of what put him behind the guy I have at six for me. Honestly, that's a big part of it. But I'll get to my guy at eight. I don't want to beat a dead horse, and I don't want to, you know, draw this out too long. We could do with a 3-hour pod on the receivers. We could.
Right.
I don't want to do that though. I got dinner to eat tonight. But the guy I have at eight is Michigan's Roman Wilson. Did he play 4 years at Michigan?
I don't know. I didn't get to him.
You didn't get to him. Okay.
Nope.
I watched a lot of the Michigan games. He's 22. So I believe he did play. Yeah, he played 4 years at Michigan. June 19th birthday. So he'll turn 23 this summer. Older for his class. Well, I guess not older for his class. That's the right age for a senior. Yeah, he's my age. Okay. Never mind. We're good. I just thought I get tripped out looking at the birthdays sometimes.
Yeah.
I got so many dates flying through my head with these guys. But Roman Wilson went to, I would not have had Roman Wilson here prior to the Senior Bowl. He went to the Senior Bowl and he kicked some ass at the Senior Bowl. He was in his bag. I mean, in his Duffy. I would have loved to see Ladd on that same team with Roman, because I think those two guys going up against Quinion Mitchell would have been an absolute just main event show. Roman Wilson was the best receiver on that team though this year, the Senior Bowl, and on Michigan, frankly, on Michigan too. He was a big part of what they do. I think he's what people think Xavier Worthy is. I don't know if that's hot. He's not as fast as Worthy. Like Roman ran what? He ran like a 4.39, which is flying. He didn't run a 4.21, which fair. I mean, Xavier's also a track guy. Let's be clear. Yeah. He's a track guy. He's a big track runner. So the start helps him. But again, like, I'm not saying he's as fast as Xavier Worthy, but he is a better wide receiver than Xavier Worthy. I think Xavier is more of a gadget type player, a specific role player. I think you could draft Roman Wilson. If the Chargers pass on a receiver at five, or they traded back with Minnesota and got 11-23, I would be fine if they took Roman Wilson. If the other seven guys are off the board, I would be happy they took Roman Wilson at 37, because I think Roman Wilson steps into an offense immediately and is a starting slot receiver. And I think he can win in a lot of different ways in his routes and in short areas. Also was a clutch player for Michigan, had really good hands, but he is a clutch player for Michigan. He stepped up when it mattered for them. And when you can do that and you can make ridiculous catches like he did in that Rose Bowl, where that ball's a pick. Everyone knows the play. JJ McCarthy's rolling left. He throws the ball. And that's a pick. If Roman doesn't get a guy who's 5'10 and 6'8 gets up and gets that ball. So he's a little smaller. Again, he's a slot receiver for the most part, but elite speed. Again, 4.39 is great. 1.51 split is even better. That's really, really good. So didn't do agility numbers at combine. I don't know if he's going to do it at Michigan's pro day. I think he will, but I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, I love Roman Wilson. Pretty firmly at eight for me. I just think he's such a high floor player, and I think he's got a pretty high ceiling as a slot receiver, as opposed to Keon at nine. It's like I can see a Keon being Quentin Johnston type. You know, it's just not quite that bad as a rookie. I mean, could not have gone wrong for Quentin this year as a rookie. But I see very similar bad parts of his game, and that worries me. Right, it's the inability to separate. Not great route running sometimes. It's sloppy footwork. He's got to get better, but he can. But again, I think Roman presents such a high floor that he's just that much. He's just a little bit better for me as a prospect. But really good player. Definitely a guy you're going to want to watch for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting to him. Like I said, I only got nine guys. Probably get four more or so when I can. But I do want to check him out. Obviously a big riser this offseason and had a productive season there with Michigan. But I guess, so I got my 9, 8, 7. So we're on a six here.
Who's it? Wait, who's it? Who's it? Eight.
Eight was Ladd.
Okay. Okay. Eight. So
no.
So he was seven, right?
Yes.
Who's eight? Because Xavier was nine, right?
Oh no, Xavier, Ladd, Keon.
Okay, so Keon's at, okay, so Keon's at seven. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So six guys left. My sixth guy is Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
I knew it. I knew you were gonna have that. That's respectable.
I think he's good. I just don't know how well he projects because
there's some concerns, and we'll get to him in a second. There's some concerns for sure.
Yeah, but I know I'll get to it here in a second. But he is probably about average age in terms of his like with his classmates. You know, all the receivers. He'll be 22 late this year. Grew up in Texas. Went to UT. If you didn't know. Played with Xavier Worthy in the same offense. 6'2 and a quarter, 205, 9-inch hands, 32 wing, almost 78, or excuse me, 32 arm, almost 78 wing. Two seasons at Georgia. Didn't really get the looks he thought he should have. And like thousands of others, entered the transfer portal for hopefully a better opportunity and chose Texas as there's a little pipeline building. Between, you know, Georgia, UT, Bama, UT, spent this past season at Texas. Wanted to be wide receiver one. Obviously, Xavier had been there for a little bit, and he was going to get his. But he got 55 catches this year for 845, just over 15 a catch, 11 touchdowns. So he was big in the red zone. He won nearly all the matchups in the red zone. He was great with, you know, vertical routes, long speed, body control. Route running was good. For a bigger guy, coordination was pretty solid, and catch radius. I mean, he put the catch radius on display at the combine. I think when they ran the gauntlet, he had a couple of really nice catches that would have been out of reach for most. But he was able to get them. I mean, he ran a 4.34, a 1.52.10 split, 39.5-inch vertical, which is really good, and 11.4 broad. So you see the explosion there with only being 6.2. Really good explosive numbers with the vert and the broad, and a really good 40 as well. I noticed that sometimes, you know, you talk about having long speed, but the yards after catch, I don't feel like we're maximized every time. You know, a lot of, obviously you can't really get upfield on some routes, but you know, even when it went up to get the ball, I would notice, you know, Leggett would be able to come down and get some yards a little easier than Mitchell was able to. The contested catches weren't always consistent. And then blocking wasn't ideal. For a bigger receiver, you expect him to be a little better at blocking than he was. But I just noticed that. You can say that for a few guys. But the blocking wasn't great. I think he's another guy where his ceiling is probably 28 with Buffalo.
I think it's earlier than that.
He could go 24 to Dallas. But I don't know if he's, I don't know if he's going – before my top four guys. So, I mean, I feel like every team's going to have their ranking so much different from the next. It's going to be interesting. And there's definitely going to be some guys that fall that you aren't expecting. And there's going to be guys taken early that you aren't expecting. So it's going to be interesting, but you know, I always say when the draft comes around, when you're picking, you're normally going to have a guy there that you didn't expect to be there outside of like, you know, the top eight, because there's only so many guys, but outside of top eight, you're normally going to have a guy that you didn't expect to fall to you. So that could be the case here with receivers, and you could be looking at teams even wanting to trade up into the first to take one.
Yeah, I think you hit a lot of it well with AD, Adonai Mitchell, AD Mitchell. Like I said, came over from Georgia after winning two straight natties, almost got Texas to the national championship game. Frankly, if Quinn throws a better football to AD on that last play, they do get to the natty. The thing that I like about AD Mitchell is he, when you throw him a 50-50 ball, it's not 50-50. It truly, like, my comp for AD is like Mike Williams, but like with the sauce, but like less work ethic. Like if you cranked up sauce, but like took it, it's like the NBA 2K like micro sliders. You can only, you know, you only get so many points to do, right? So if you spend all your points on sauce for AD and you put none of it towards work ethic. Right. It's Mike Williams, basically. So I think AD's a little smaller and a lot faster. But again, he's got the juice. He's got the sauce. Man, he's it's I've had him at five. It was hard. I've had him at five though because I the ceiling is so immense because he's such a talented individual, and he's so talented. And when it's right, brother, he's better than Brian Thomas Jr. I think, who's at four. He's at four. I think he's better than Brian Thomas Jr. when it's on. The problem is it's not always on. It's not there. It's like half the time. And granted, like in Texas's offense, you're not always like if you're on the backside of a play for like especially they run a lot of quick game. If you're on the backside of a read, you're usually just not getting the ball. It's either like a handoff or they're throwing a glance or something, a bubble or a swing or a slant or whatever, right? Or there's a lookie, like there's something quick and short coming across on the play on the front side. And if you're on the backside, there's usually not a lot going on for you. And there'd be times where AD was just like doing nothing and not behind the play, trailing, looking to block. Young player, he's going to need to go somewhere though that they can, what's the right way it says? He's going to need to go somewhere he can do some maturing, a place he can go mature. That's where he needs to go. And the same can be said for another guy in this class who's very highly regarded. But AD just has to go somewhere where he can mature and just become a professional football player, because he's not right now, and that's okay. He's 21 years old, but like gonna have to get there in a year or two. He's immensely talented. It's just like, yeah, you can get all the talent in the world, and you can run, you can run 4.34, and you can jump 39.5 and 11.4, and you can be 6.2 and do it all, and get a 9.99 RIS score. But you've got to be a professional at the same time. You've got to be able to take every play seriously and play and block and play. So that's what then separates him from Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. blocks. Oh, he blocks, and he's hauling downfield the block. So that's what a little bit of gap between four and five for me. But I love AD. He's a really good player. Uber talented. I can't state that enough. He is such a talented player. He committed crimes against Christian Gonzalez and Khalid McKinstry in back-to-back seasons. When he was at Georgia, he went up. He was the only guy who beat Christian Gonzalez at all this year. And he went up over top of him and mossed him like no one did that year. Christian Gonzalez was the top six player for me. Seems maybe it's right at seven, whatever it was. Top five player for me, though. Top six, seven. He's a top 10 player for you. He's a blue chip corner. And he did that to him. And then he did that same thing to Kool-Aid, who I think is a top 30 player. He went up over top of him and committed a crime. And he beat killed Bama. He killed him. And in both uniforms, he killed him. So super talented guy. That's why I can't ignore that much talent, that much ceiling at five. Because I don't think the floor is that low. It's just like, is the floor, how often are you getting the floor is kind of the thing. But yeah, I've got it number six. I believe is I assume it's who your guy at five is. I know he's one of your guys in this class, Troy Franklin out of Oregon. Troy Franklin the third out of Oregon. A little bit slimmer, 6'1", 7'8", so basically 6'2", 176, pretty light. 4'4", 140, jumped to 39 vert, great speed there, great explosiveness. 1.54 was a great 10 split as well for him. The agility was a little worse than I thought it'd be, just given like the slenderness of his build. But again, in game, he moves really fast. He blows by corners in game. We saw it firsthand. I remember we, like, you and I sat at, we watched that game in the end zone, the Texas Tech Oregon game. And before that game, I go, they're gonna have to figure out how to stop Troy Franklin. I go, because that's an NFL player. We said this in September, that he was that good. And sure enough, he burned him over top. I mean, like, just go ball. Like, head fake, go ball. He was gone. I mean, and he was gone. No one in the stadium was catching him. Like, right. I don't even know if Tyler Owens was going to get him. He was that far away, right?
He would have been messing around on the backside anyway. He wouldn't have known what was going on.
It's probably fair. Tyler Owens, elite athlete. Love my boy. Wouldn't call him an elite ball player, though. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I would not call him a ball player. Freak athlete, though. The guy, he survives on it. But no, Troy was, he was a sight to see in person. He runs really good routes. He's really, really smooth. It's easy gas. He doesn't look like he's going fast at all. Well, he's running fast, but he's moving. Easy gas for Troy. He's a really, really, really good player. God, it's just the, like, watching the different offenses, it was interesting. Like watching Ohio State's offense, watching LSU's offense, watching Washington, Oregon, Texas, Georgia, Michigan, like the variety of offenses you saw. I'd love to see Troy in an offense that wasn't so structured, because I think he'd have gotten a few, like, obviously he was the primary read in a lot of plays, but I would love to see Troy in an offense where the quarterback was given more freedom to create, just because Bo never really had to do that. It was always so, it's just so in structure. It's a structure throw here, structure throw there. There were some deep shots for sure, and they took them with Troy plenty of times, but like, you imagine him in an offense where quarterback frequently is, there's a lot of heavy like drop back play action, and you're just letting Troy hit a post route and just go. So I'd be curious to see what he looks like in a non-Oregon offense. There's really nobody in the NFL runs that, and I think he'd get even better outside of it. I also note 4.41 is graded as a 9.26, whereas opposed to his 20 split is an 8.51, which means the top speed was really good. It means he accelerated a little bit slow, but the flying 20 was fast. That's why I think teams are going to let him just go run.
Yeah.
I think he's a better MVS. He's MVS without the hands problems. I think he's just a better player. But he's got a very similar body style and the way he wins. But he's at his best is vertically, right? It's vertically get by a guy. So, but I think Troy does a lot more than that. He's good after the catch. I think he gets credit for. He's a really good player. I know I'll let you talk more about him. He's one of your guys in this class. The big knock is just he's slim. He's small. He's 6'1" and 6'2". 176 is the question mark, though. I can just tell by your face you have him at 4. That's my hot take. Brett's got him at 4. That's still in the knock. I'll let you get to Troy.
No, it is. I know a lot of people are talking about the 176. On the scale, and it's tough because he just turned 21, so he's very young,
right?
And didn't really have, like, obviously these guys that are younger don't have as many off seasons with teams to truly go through, strength programs and stuff like that. So when he gets to the NFL, I don't think that's going to be a problem. And you already knew going into it that he would be skinny, he would be smaller, he would be one of the lightest receivers. So him weighing in and actually being the lightest doesn't really do a whole lot for me.
Right, that's fair.
But like I said, he just turned 21. He's more than a year younger than a lot of these guys, one of the youngest receivers in the class. And, he's just under 6'2". I thought he'd be closer to 6'3", but, 6'2 is fine. Doesn't really make a difference. Just under 9-inch hands. 32-inch arms and a 77.25 wingspan. So the wingspan is pretty good. A little smaller for a guy that's 6'2", but doesn't really need it a whole lot with his specialties and like you said, how he runs routes, how he goes about his game. But 3 seasons at Oregon. In the last 2, he's had 23 touchdowns. He is an elite deep threat. He ran a 4.41. I thought it'd be closer to the other guys, 4.34, 4.33 area, but 4.41, perfectly fine. We're talking about like 0.08 of a second. You can't really notice that on the field, but 39-inch vertical, 10.4 broad, a 6.93 cone, and 4.3 shuttle. So across the board, pretty good numbers. It just, the guys, his classmates are all really good too. So 81 catches this past season, which was right up there with other guys that, were primary reads. He's like 3rd in this class in catches, almost 1,400 yards. So you see that, the long speed on display when you have over 17 yards a catch and 14 touchdowns. The separation abilities are elite, one of the best in the class. His releases are really solid. Like you said, he's fluid in the way he creates separation. There's not really much wasted movement. His route running is pretty solid. He has a better route tree than you would expect. And then yards after catch, obviously. Contested catches aren't always there. And then blocking he wasn't consistent on. But outside of that, I really, really liked him. I think his ceiling is 17 at Jacksonville. But I do think there's a chance he goes in round 2. It's just going to depend on where everyone else ahead of him goes. There's a chance round two, like I said, because all these teams are going to have such different boards. But 17, I think, is his absolute ceiling. I don't see how he goes above that. But he is my wide receiver five. So I do have four ahead of him. It was close, to be honest. It was kind of close. Just because I think he projects so well. I think there's so many offenses that he can do well in at the next level.
He's a stud. He's going to thrive in a lot of offenses, like you said. I think he takes long to get to a wide receiver one status. I think he can get there. That was really the differential. Like, to me, it was like, who can I see of getting to being wide receiver one and at a higher level? It was AD, but it's a slim margin. They're both really good players. Right now on my big board, I'll tell you, I've got it here. I got AD at 23, Troy at 25, Ladd at 26. And this will change a little bit as we go. But they're all right. They're grouped together. Right. It's like the good is so good with AD, but it's also, you've got to take into account the risk you take with him. But I guess to get to my top four here. I think both of us had the same top fours, and frankly, I mean, there's a gap between four and five. There's a gap between three and four, and there's a gap between one and two, like a small gap. And I think the margin between two and three is the thinnest in the entire class. There's not a thinner margin between two players, to me, and they're very different. But I'll get to four first. Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is my wide receiver four. 3-year player at LSU. He is 6'2" and 7/8", so basically 6'3", 209 pounds. Ran a 4.33 40, which was outstanding. He flew. 38.5 vert, 10.6 broad. Fellow was moving. Fellow was moving at the combine, and you see it on tape, but he got to the combine and I was like, wow, he's fast. Like, that was faster than I expected him to be. And it made me ask the question, like, good Lord, what would Malik Nabers have run? I don't know if he's faster than Malik or not, but like, they'd have been damn close. Malik's 10 split probably would have been a little bit better. I think Malik would have one of the best 10 splits in the entire group, in the entire class, maybe the best. But yeah, I don't know if the top speed would have been as good because he's got that longer stride. But regardless, that's moving. And you look at his tape, I think you see a really clean player. I think he's a very, very clean, good technical player. I mean, he takes the top off the defense all the time. He plays big. He's got really good field awareness. It's something I noticed. He's got really good field awareness. Knows where the sideline is at all times in the end zone. He knows where the white lines are. He gets a bunch of two-foot toe taps, like NFL catch, not just college, but NFL catches. He was physical. This guy loves to block. This guy loves to block. I don't know if it's the LSU guys, and that's what the receivers coach is doing, but man, Brian Thomas Jr. blocks. And he's like, there's clips on tape where he and Malik Nabers both, but I mean, Brian Thomas does it more than he does. He's hauling downfield to go get a block for Malik or for Jaden or for whoever, right? I mean, he's hauling down. Like, he is moving, trying to track guys down to get a block. Just literally throw the hands and back in front of a guy. Do anything. He's one of the better blockers in the group, for sure. Might be the best blocker in the group. Just the way he gets after it, the effort he gives downfield. This guy gets glowing reviews from LSU staffers. Guy gets glowing reviews from everybody. And frankly, he's a special, special player. He'd have been wide receiver one last year for me. He's wide receiver four this year. Speaks to how special this class is. Not a lot of negative to his game. I wish he would be a little quicker, I guess, maybe at times. You may like to see him just kind of be a more nuanced route runner, if you will, because he wins a lot with just athleticism and speed. But other than that, like, there's not a lot that you can nitpick with his game. He's number 14 player on my board. He's that good to me, and it could even change. It could change genuinely. He's that good of a player. I think he's an absolute stud. Young, I think younger guy as well too. Do you have his birthday on hand? You probably do. You got him right.
He turns 22 in September, October.
So is he an older guy? Because I could have sworn
he's
was a
3-year
player.
It's about average. Yeah, he's 3 years.
Oh, he turns 22. Sorry, he said 23.
No, 22.
Okay. Yeah, he turns 22. Yeah. Three-year player. He's so good. So good. I love him. The LSU tape was fun, dude. The LSU offense was fun to watch. I'll tell you that much. Much better than watching the Michigan offense this year. A lot more fun to watch. Or even the Ohio State offense. Dude, watching Marv's tape was so rough because Kyle McCord is that bad. Yeah. I digress. You can talk about Brian now. I'll let you get to him.
Yeah, he's my wide receiver 4 as well. From Louisiana, 21 and 7 months. Just under 6'3", 209, almost 10-inch hands, almost 33-inch arms, and 80-inch wing. The measurables were crazy. The reason he was above Troy, and I love Troy, but the reason he was above is because he had what Troy didn't, and that was blocking ability, that was like size with your height. And he ran a 4.33 at 209 with the fastest 10 split out of the 9 receivers I covered that tested. 38.5-inch vertical, 11-foot broad almost, and 11 reps on the bench. So obviously bench doesn't really matter for receivers, but he is an incredible blocker. He doesn't necessarily have the long speed, but his acceleration is incredible. That top speed is there. The vertical threat, he's really fluid, similar to Troy for how big he is. 6'3", is an inch taller than Troy. Ball tracking is pretty solid, and the route running is good. 68 catches for almost 1,200 yards, over 17 a catch, and 17 touchdowns. I know that's mainly what got him a good bit of attention. 17 touchdowns is one of the best in the class. Footwork and shoulders. Sometimes his shoulders would give away either what route he was running or when the ball was coming his direction. I noticed sometimes he wouldn't play through contact on his route. That would, that would cause him to have to adjust his route, and then contested catches weren't consistent. He did make some. I think 50-50 balls are still kind of 50-50 balls with him. Which they shouldn't be. They should be a little more. But that's something you can also easily coach. 6'3" with a 38.5-inch vertical. So all the skills are there. I think his ceiling is, I don't know, 9 to Chicago. They traded for Keenan, so I don't think he's going to go there anymore.
His ceiling is 11 with the Chargers if they trade back there.
Right.
If 3 receivers go, given the needs, that's the ceiling for him. Yeah. That's what I think. Just kind of given the way that the drafts, maybe 13 with the Raiders is reasonable, or 12 with the Broncos if they don't take quarterback. Right. They just shipped out Judy. The Raiders just cut Renfro. I guess they have Jacoby Myers on roster still, so maybe not, but I think 12. I think the Broncos are going to trade back. Maybe that's for the mock, but I think they're going to trade back. They can't, unless they want to move up, which I don't think they're going to. They can move back and still get Bo Nix.
But I don't know if they want to. I don't think they're going to stay at 12 regardless. But
no,
we'll talk about it on the mock.
But his ceiling is about between the 11, depending on who's picking where, is the 11 to 15 range maybe.
Yeah, I think I had in here 12, but I kind of changed that because I don't think Denver's going to stay at 12. His floor is Buffalo with 20 at 28, I think, the absolute floor, if he got there somehow. I think 28. I don't think he gets out of the first round. Far too talented. But he's incredible. He had the best combine out of any receiver, I think, with both explosion, 40, testing, and then measurables were all elite, top of the class. My number 3 receiver.
Question for you real quick. Do you think Cincinnati would just take him at 18 and then trade T on draft night?
They could. Yeah, I think.
Because he's not as big as T. A.D. Mitchell's more of the T replacement, but if that makes sense.
You'd have to find a suitor. before you picked.
Right, like, right. You'd need to have that trade ready to go.
Yeah, knowing Brian Thomas would be there. I don't know if they want to risk that. Because what I'm saying
it's a draft. Like you take Brian Thomas and then you trade him at in the coming 24 hours, right? That was at least that's kind of my thought. Just kind of the way that it could go down.
It sounded like for now that T's gonna stay, but I mean that can change. Right. So that'd be an interesting fit. I think that would work out really good for all parties. But I don't know if it's gonna happen. But nonetheless, interesting scenario there where they trade T. But my wide receiver three is tough because, I mean, the top three guys, really top four, are all really good. They all have specialties and they all have very few flaws. But it was tough coming up with my rankings. I think I landed on Rome Odunze being my third receiver from Vegas. He'll be 22 in May, 6'3", 212, 9 1/4 hands, 32 and a quarter arm, 77 wing. Spent 4 seasons at Washington. I don't remember exactly. I didn't put it down what he did before this year, but the combine was pretty impressive for him. I mean, the 40 was good at a 4.45, a 1.52 10 split, but the mainly where, you know, he made a name for himself, or I guess drew some more attention to himself, didn't make a name for himself, but 39-inch vertical, 10'4" broad, a 6.88 three cone and a 4.03 shuttle, which is incredible. His stats this year, I mean, 92 catches in an offense where he wasn't the only good receiver, and over 1,600 yards, almost 18 a catch and 13 touchdowns. So he had the best stat season out of any receiver, just across the board. He didn't have the most touchdowns. He didn't have like the most yards per catch, but across the board, he had the best season. I mean, the size to go with the strength and the fluidity of his game with the change of direction. I mean, you see with the three cone and shuttle, route running, ball skills, catch radius, tracking, contested catching, yards after catch, it's all there. I guess one knock is he's not as explosive in his routes, and, you know, long speed isn't up to par with some other guys. But I think when you look at his game, I don't think there's a flaw that you can't coach. And I think even off the field, the work ethic's there, everything that you need to be there for a wide receiver one in the league, he has. And I think he's ready to come in and make that jump. I don't think he gets out of the top 10. I'm projecting based off no trades, based off what the current picks are. So I think his ceiling is 4 to Arizona. I do think there's a chance they can take him. I think all three receivers, there's a chance, you know, Malik or Rome could be the first off the board. And I wouldn't be too surprised. Like, obviously, it would be surprising, but I wouldn't fault anyone for drafting Rome first. I think his floor, now this was before the Bears traded for Keenan, and I think with Keenan and DJ, I mean, if you drafted Rome too, that'd be pretty crazy, but I think he doesn't get past 10.
You'd roll out the best 11 personnel in the NFL. You'd roll out the best 11 personnel in the NFL. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he would fit a need because I think DJ and Keenan are more like Z-style receivers, and I think Rome can play the X at the next level. So I think it could work, and it'd be interesting to see how it goes with, obviously, you know, Caleb Williams and DeAndre Swift in the backfield. But I don't know if they're going to do it. I think they have other needs. I mean, obviously, you're picking top 10 for a reason. You have multiple needs, and I think they want to build the best team around Caleb that they can. And they've done that this offseason with Swift and Keenan, and I think they'll continue doing that. But I don't know if wide receiver will be the answer now that they got Keenan. So I don't think he falls out of the top 10. I think his ceiling is 4. But Rome's another guy that I think is going to come in day one and ball out. I don't think there's much projecting to do in terms of his transition to the league. I think it's going to be a more fluid transition than most of the guys.
Right. I think, man, I'm still waffling on these two guys. Man, it's hard. Rome is my favorite player in the entire class. Like, if I had to pick one player literally the entire NFL draft this year to make my guy, it would be Rome Odunze. And I think Rome is a better player right now than Malik Nabers. He's a more complete receiver. I think he's more pro ready as a professional. He's got unmatched work ethic. And I think had Michael Penix Jr. been more accurate this year, he could have gone for like 1,800 plus yards. Because he missed him. And there were times where it's like, he's also playing with Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan, who are also NFL receivers going to be drafted this year. And I'm like screaming at Mike, like, throw it to Rome. He's open. Like, he's wide open. But Malik's also 20 years old. Malik doesn't turn 21 until July 28th. He's got so much room to grow still and to mature. So because of that, it pains me. I do have Rome at 3. I've got Malik at 2. That said, Malik is at 3 on my big board, and Rome's at 4 on my big board. Caleb's at 2. And then obviously, the man himself is at 1, who we'll talk about in a minute. And I think that's like a pretty hard set 4 for me. Hard set 4. Like, I think all three of these guys are going to be all pros in like 2-3 years, basically. It kind of depends like who goes to the best situation, who goes to the best offense, who goes to the best, again, target share, all that stuff. But I mean, these are the definition of cannot miss players. And I think all three, I think Marv's definitely better than Jamar. And I think we're talking about Malik and Rome on the same level as Jamar Chase. And it's hard to evaluate them in comparison because Jamar didn't play a last year of college, right? He didn't have a 2020 to play. He sat out because of COVID. But like I said, both of these two guys are really, really special players. Again, Rome is my single favorite player in the entire draft. He's my guy to a T. I think I fell in love with the fact that he's a better receiver for the Chargers and for Justin Herbert than Malik is, just given his play style. So maybe that's why I had him just ahead of Malik for a few weeks, about a month. I just think, again, you come to the realization that Malik has so much room to grow as a player. He's got so much he can still do that you get. It's like, how do you ignore that? How do you ignore the fact that the kid's not even 21 years old? He's got a lot of maturing to do. He's got so much he can get better at as a receiver. But I'll get to Rome real quick. You want to hear the lofty comp for Rome? That is. I am not alone in this. It's Davante Adams. Like, and I said this like in December. It's Davante Adams. When you watch him play and you watch the way he wins in his routes, he's not this freak speed. And granted, like, he's not slow. Homie ran a 4.45. That's fast. That is fast. And he ran a 4.03 shuttle. Like, that's really, that's elite. That's an elite number. It is an elite number. This is a 9.62 out of 10. That is an elite number. Again, he's everything you want in a receiver. The only thing that I don't think he has at an elite level is the acceleration. And they after the catch. He's good. He's good after the catch. He's just not elite or great like Malik Nabers is. You give the ball to Malik, he could house anything on any play. I don't know if Rome can do that. Hidden break tackles the same way, blah, 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 blah. But what I think Rome is better at, Rome is a better route runner. I think Rome wins in more ways. I think Rome can win. You can put Rome anywhere on the field and ask him to do anything, he's going to win. He blocks really, really well. He'll go up and get the jump ball. Yeah, it ain't 50-50. It's like 75-25, 70-30. Like he's winning deep balls. He also abused Will Johnson. They battled for sure. Will beat him, but like he worked Will a couple times. He wins in so many different ways, and he runs his routes so he's such an advanced route runner for a guy who's 21 years old. He's so far ahead of it feels like everybody else. What should normally be everybody else. But he's got two guys in this class who are absolute freaks of nature, and one guy who is a generational player, truly generational in this class. And I'm not going to call two other guys generational because then it's not that you've lost the point of the word. But Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, you alluded to it. These guys aren't that far from Marv either. They're really not. When you think about it, it's just there's just an extra little bit, and we'll get to it in a minute. But man, Rome, he wins, and there's no bad part of it. There's no knock on his game. There's nothing you can poke a hole in. Nothing, absolutely nothing. The guy does everything really, really well. There's no bad parts of his game. He was a clutch player for Washington. And he did everything you would have wanted a receiver to do for them. He did this year, and he was the biggest reason why they went to the national championship game. I know Mike was great this year. He had an awesome season. Rome was the straw that stirred this drink this year. He spreads out the field so much. He draws so much extra attention that guys like Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan are able to go do what they're able to do. And Mike had a lot of time because you couldn't blitz these guys. You had to drop into coverage. Rome Odunze was a straw that stirred the drink for them. He was that good. He's that impactful of a player.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, Rome's a really good player. And I think – I don't know if my top four are going to change. But I think whoever gets him is going to have an incredible pick. It's going to be great value. It's going to be a great fit. And he projects well to a lot of teams at the next level. But I'll let you get Malik. And I'll close it out.
Malik might be the best accelerator I've ever seen play football, like in college. He accelerates like nobody. Okay, let's take Tyreek Hill out of the equation. He accelerates like nobody else. He truly, like, he puts so much pressure on defensive backs that he can go from 0 to 60, and it's like he's by you. Like he's gone. Like he's gone. He's by you. You're done, right? He's that special of an accelerator. Gets you his measurables. He did not test at the combine. 6 foot even, 200 pounds. Plays bigger than 6 feet tall. I'll say that. He definitely plays bigger than that. He's, again, you throw him a screen, you throw him a slant, you throw him an out, an in. You could put him at running back, throw him a swing, hand him a jet sweep. He could take it 85 yards to the house. He did. He took a couple of jet sweeps to the crib this year against good teams, by the way, against good SEC teams. He's a special, special dude. There is nobody I've seen in college that accelerates the way he does and just is so smooth and fluid and quick. And he's deadly. Truly. Like every time we put the ball in his hands, he's deadly to take it to the crib, break a bunch of tackles, reverse field, do whatever. I think in his routes, I think people talk about, he doesn't handle press that well. Guys, you can't press him. You can't, unless you're Jalen Ramsey in his, you're not pressing Malik because he's going to get by you. Like, truly, you can't just man up press this guy. He's that good. He terrifies defensive backs because he's that fast. And he's that, it's the accelerator. People are like, oh man, you can run really fast, blah, 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 blah. Like, guys who run fast don't just win every rep. You have to accelerate, and you've got to get off of coverage, and you've got to get by a guy with a free release. And he does that really well. I think this whole, like, he's bad with his hands. He doesn't use his hands. It's not physical. I think that's a terrible thing. I think that's wrong. Steve Smith said it, and Steve Smith's a great player all time. He's one of the best. But Steve likes receivers who played like Steve. And Steve was a guy who was, what, 5'10"?
Yeah,
but would be one of the guys you would never want to see in a bar fight because he's ruthlessly physical. That's just not Malik's game, and that's okay. Doesn't mean he's bad with his hands. It means he's quick enough and fast enough and smart enough to just get by guys. It didn't bother him. Is he a little small? He's a lot smaller side for sure at 6 foot, 200 pounds. But I don't think he's a slot only. Should he play in the slot to start his NFL career? Probably. But dog. This guy's gonna eat slot defenders for lunch. Unless it's a guy like Kyle Hamilton, who can truly get him off his route early in the coverage. But even then, like Kyle, he's the best slot defender in the NFL. He ain't sticking with him try for stride downfield. If he can get by him and get clean, it's just not. There's nobody that's going to that's a slot defender. You don't see slot defenders that run 4.4s and accelerate like that. You just don't, right? That's the nature of the position. That's why Malik was so dangerous in the slot in college. He won in every route. And I'll tell you right now, there's nothing that defensive coordinators feared more in the box on the sideline than seeing Malik Nabers break for the slot fade. Brother. That's just his, that's his route now. That's his route. It, just call it the Nabers. That is his route. He didn't lose a slot fade this year. He didn't lose a slot fade. He cooked everyone on slot fades. He's really, really good. Again, I'll get to a couple negatives. He's a little small. He doesn't win 50-50 balls like you would want, or like a guy like Marv or Rome does, but he's also 6 feet tall, so I'm not gonna like hammer him for it. I'll touch on this quickly. And Malik's gonna pass all the, he's a good kid. He's a really good kid. He's a good person. He's a hard worker. He blocks well. He loves his teammates. Like he's not a bad character person. He had one gun charge, misdemeanor gun charge that got dismissed two summers ago. He's, again, 19 years old, 18 years old. He's a kid, made a bad decision. And there's some talk that he's a little bit of a diva, which again, he's a receiver. What do you want? Like, they're all divas. Unless you're Larry Fitzgerald, they're all divas to an extent. They're not all Romo Odunze. Like, they're not all just a guy who's just going to do whatever. Like,
yeah.
You could say Marv is a diva too, because he didn't do any testing. He's not going to, right? So, like, you can make that argument. It doesn't bother me because he's a really, really good kid, and it was one LSU staffer that didn't get along with him that well. And that's okay. He's going to pass all the character checks. Now, will a team like the Chargers with Joe Ortiz, an Ozzie Newsome disciple, and Jim Harbaugh like Rome better? Yeah, they probably will. And that's okay. I mean, people are going to fall in love with Roman Dunes as a person because he's that, right? Malik's a really good kid, though. He's also 20 years old. He's got a lot of time to mature. And so I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle of like, oh, we heard X, Y, and Z. Like, he's a good kid. The character's not a question. He made a bad decision. Will he need to go – if he's going to go to a city like Los Angeles, Atlanta, New York, will he need to be – Chicago – just those are four massive market cities with huge, huge off the field distractions, like any other big city. Will he need a little more mentorship and tutelage and ability to grow and mature? Sure. Than being in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Yeah, maybe he will. But at the same time, like, he's not a bad person. He's not Kayshon Boutte. Put it that way. So again, Malik's a really good kid. He's the third best player in the class. It would surprise me a little bit if Roman before Marv. Wouldn't shock me if someone took Malik before Marv, because they just prefer the type of player he is.
Yeah.
He's better after the catch than both these two guys. He's faster. He accelerates better. And he's just a different player. And that's okay, right? He doesn't have to be Marv. He doesn't have to be Roman. He needs to be Malik Nabers. He's got shades of Stephon Diggs, I'll be honest. He reminds me a lot of Diggs when you watch him. I'm going to give him a lofty comp because I think he's that good, right? Like, I don't think it's Jamar. If he gets Jamar luck because the LSU, whatever. I think it's Diggs. Truly, I think it's Diggs. The way he wins, the acceleration, the speed, the nuance for outrunning, all that stuff. Malik's awesome. Be thrilled if the Chargers took him at five. I'd be thrilled if they took either one of these two guys at five. I think they're getting the guy at one. I think it's going to happen. Whispering.
It's looking like it.
It's gonna happen. Trust me.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But
listen, I texted Brett this like however long ago. If they get Marv at five, I'm buying all the jerseys. I'm buying a jersey in every color. I'm doing it I'm doing it that night. Ain't no question about it. I'm doing it.
No, I mean, it would be crazy. But I don't know if it's gonna happen. It's looking like it could.
We'll see.
I mean, that would require a couple trades, and we'll see how it goes. But Malik is my receiver, too, as well, from Louisiana. Doesn't turn 21 until late summer. 89 catches, almost 1,600 yards. Almost 18 a catch and 14 touchdowns. Like you said, the burst, explosiveness, acceleration, it's all there at an elite level, I think. Long speed is pretty good. He's a threat in every way. I think whether it's deep or yards after catch, he's quick. His route running is really solid, and the ball tracking is great. Weaknesses, there's a little bit of wasted movement in his routes and releases, but I think you can clean that up. And then jump balls he wasn't great with. But that's not what he's known for. So I think you can't really work on jump balls. It's either you just have it or you don't. But the wasted movement, I think you can cut down a good bit. But he's another guy that I don't think gets out of the top 10. I go at 4 just based off of the picks right now. But I really like Neighbors. I think he's going to be incredible in the league and just another guy that, you know, that's a part of this loaded receiver class. And he made more than a name for himself this past season with LSU, along with Brian Thomas Jr. And I think they're both going to have great careers. But my number one guy is Marvin Harrison Jr. From Ohio State, from Philly, is where he grew up. He's going to be 22 late summer, so a year older than Malik. 6'3", 209, 9.5 hand, 32 arm, and 77 wingspan. So pretty average numbers across the board outside of height and weight. 6'3", 209 is great. 3 seasons at Ohio State in the past 2 years, once he was able to get some more reps for himself, he dominated. Unfortunately, didn't do any testing at the combine, just measurables. But 67 catches, 1,200 yards, 18 a catch, and 14 touchdowns. So with his limited targets, I think he put on display everything he possibly could have. His speed's really solid with acceleration, his separation, agility, best footwork in the class, the route running, explosiveness, ball tracking. I mean, he even had some reps in the slot that were really good. And his awareness, field awareness were just some of his many strengths. It's a little bit thinner. I mean, 6'3", 209, but he seemed a little thinner than that. And he didn't break many tackles. He wasn't consistent, like consistently a yak guy. But he broke tackles occasionally, but for the most part, once you could get to him, get to his legs, you would get him down. So I think he needs to be, obviously he's going to go in offense where he's going to be the primary target, you would think. But anything on that offense that can draw defenders away from him is going to be huge for him, more so than other guys, just because of how he plays and just not being able to always break tackles. You know, you're not going to really have to shift the field quite as much from a tackling standpoint. But I think his floor is 6 right now with the picks. I don't think he gets past the Giants if he's there, let alone the Chargers at 5 if they stay. But, yeah, he's a special guy. I think across the board there's nothing really wrong with his game. He went to a big-time school. He didn't play with a great quarterback this past season, but he has the height, he has the weight, he has the age. He has all the strengths that you want, and it's all there. So he's going to go very early on draft night, and I know he's getting a little bit of a bump because of his dad and what he did in the league, but he's also special in his own right, and I think I hope a team realizes that and doesn't just take him for the projection and stuff like that. But he's done a ton in college, and hopefully that translates to the league.
Yeah, but I will say, like, very different player than his dad. Like, very different player. I mean, his dad was a 6'6", 180. Like, his dad was small. Yeah, it's smaller. I mean, that's a smaller player. Marv's a bigger, more physical player. Marv's got really, really special body control, and he's got an innate ability to just catch the football when it's thrown to him. If you want to put one knock on his game, he had a couple more drops this year than you would have liked to see. But again, all you need to know is that as a true sophomore, a guy who – how old is he? Do you have his birthday? Because I don't have
it. He turns 22, like, in August.
Okay, so a guy that was 20 years old. Ohio State was going to beat Georgia 2 years ago. Like, they were going to beat him.
Yeah.
And then Marv went down, and the offense spun its wheels. As great as that unit was, led by C.J. Stroud, the great offensive line, really good running backs, really good other receivers, great tight end. When he went down as a true sophomore, couldn't do anything. He was making that thing go because Georgia had to respect him and commit resources to him. At 20 years old, as a true sophomore, barely 20. This guy, I mean, you talk about can't miss. This is the best player in the class. He's at 1-1 on my board. He's not going to move. That takes into account positional value. Like, yeah, Caleb's that good. Marvin Harrison Jr. is that good to him. He's generational. Generational. He's the best receiver we've seen since Julio. That doesn't seem like – I mean, that's easy for me to say. That's easy for me to say.
Yeah.
Best since Julio. It's been what? When Julio got drafted? Been over a decade. Julio got drafted in 11?
Like 10 or 11, I think.
10 or 11, let me see. Because I can just look real easy. Draft. Julio Jones was drafted in 2011. So in 13 years, this is the best guy we've seen. And Julio was, I mean, this guy was a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, I'm not saying Marv has to go be that. He didn't have to be his dad. He needs to be Marvin Harrison Jr. He needs to be himself. That said, that is everything right. People can throw a fit or whatever about, he didn't do any testing, didn't any of this or that. But, like, this man, he wants to do it how he wants to do it. Clearly he's working with his dad a lot. He's talking to him and, they're trying to do it their way. And I don't think he needs to do anything. He's by all accounts, an incredible kid, a great person off the field. Everyone at Ohio State raves about him. Everyone that comes in contact with him says he's an awesome kid. God, that quarterback play held them back so much this year. Marv's teammate in high school was terrible for them this year. He's a special player, man. He's a really, really, really good player. If I could give Marv, I kind of got away from this year, but if I can give Marv one word, generational is easy, but like, I would just say like control. Like he's truly in control of his body, of how the play is going to end. He's in control of DBs. Like he's truly in control of the game when he's on the field. He was in control of the game. I mean, it's to the point where it's like, hey, if you had good tape against Marv, stock up, brother. Stock up. If you had good, like Cam Hart had a great game against Marv. They got him help over the top. Like Cam Hart had a great game against him. I love Cam Hart because of that. That's a great, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, just an example of it. Marv's that good. His ceiling is at 4 and his floor is at 9. Or sorry, at 5. Because if he doesn't go at 4, that means the Chargers are going to take him at 5. Because if he didn't go at 4, it means the quarterback went at 4. That's at least what I think. I'm not really buying into this whole, like, oh, teams like league neighbors better. It wouldn't shock me. I don't think it's going to happen. And if he doesn't go at 4, if he doesn't go at 4 and Malik goes at 4, I think the Chargers couldn't pass up on him. At 5, I don't think they could. They'd have to take him. The receiver need is so big because the Keenan got traded, and we're going to talk about that on the regular pod this week. They can't. They got to take a receiver. So I think the floor is at 5, the ceiling is at 4 because I think quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3. There's a couple people who are like, oh yeah, New England's going to move out. No, New England ain't moving out.
They shouldn't.
They're gonna sit there and take quarterback. I'm not buying this whole they're moving out thing. If Minnesota didn't just trade for 23, I had to say that them moving up is BS because it's all smoke right now. New England's sitting at 3 and taking a quarterback. That is happening. Whoever it is, whether it's Jaden or it's Drake, they're taking one of those two guys.
Yeah.
And then Minnesota's going to trade to 4 or 5. The question is if Arizona's willing to move. That's the question. Because if Arizona's willing to move, they'll make that trade in, let's say, the 18th. They'll make that trade in 25 days, sometime early April. It's a similar timeline to when the Eagles did it for Wentz. They traded up from like, what, 16 to 8, and then they moved up from 8 to 2 because it's easier to go, you know what I mean? So It's pretty clear that, you know, Minnesota got 23 just not to draft twice. They got it to get a quarterback, and they're going to go from either 11 to 4, 11 to 5, and it's going to be for 11, 23, and that's probably it. I mean, maybe they throw in like a 3 next year. They're not throwing in a one next year. That's not how that works. They're not doing that. It's like a two or a three next year. That's it. Truly. Like, look at the points. Look at the value. Like, I get its quarterback, but they're not going to throw three ones up there. I don't think they need to. So, I think Arizona, I think ultimately they do go to four with Arizona because I think there's a real threat for Arizona to go. Now, we're just going to flop with New York. We like six better than 11, and we can still get Marv or Malik. And I think that ultimately will drive Minnesota to get to four, up the offer. And maybe they do have to give up a one. Maybe they do. They go up to four and get, and they take JJ, and Harrison Jr. ends up a Charger. It's gonna happen. We're quietly manifesting out of this podcast, but it's gonna. I need it. Like, I need air. Max Duggan can give up that eight real quick though. I'll tell you that right now, buddy. You ain't even getting paid. Like, you're either cutting you off the peace squad or you're giving up eight. That's all you got, brother. That's happening. Because he can't wear 18 because it's retired. But he wore eight in high school. I think he would have worn eight at Ohio State if Cade Stover wasn't there. Throw that out there. Or he could be a man and wear 88, like a real receiver. Wear an 80 number, like an absolute monster.
Is one available?
It will be. Listen, if they draft Rome, one's coming available. Quentin can kick rocks with one, brother. He's getting out of that.
No,
I'm saying
we'll get y'all mock in a few days, hopefully. That's gonna be a lot of fun going through that, talking about different scenarios. I mean, we're doing six of them for a reason. It's because there's just so many scenarios that can go down, so many things that change week to week, just based off, you know, what people are hearing or what the draft order is. A lot of stuff can happen between now and draft time. But I think that'll pretty much do it for us today. That concludes our 2024 NFL positional draft rankings. 11 position groups that we talked about. We have now broken it down to 12 groups because we split interior offensive linemen into guards and centers. Each week before we begin our mock, we're going to preview, I guess, we're going to hit our board changes, our top five rankings changes before we start our mock. So make sure to stay tuned. And listen to the entirety of it because there's going to be a lot of valuable info throughout the episode outside of the mock itself. So thank you all for tuning in. We're going to have probably a couple episodes this week. I know we got to get a regular one out as well. So we'll figure out when we're doing all that. But we're going to get back on schedule next week. This week, we're kind of just transitioning back. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all in a couple days.
See you guys soon.